Hello, everybody, and welcome to Mast Radio Sports Talk, presented by 2.5 Athletes. We are coming at you from Pacific Lutheran University in Tacoma, Washington. This show is a convergence of Mast Media and Laser Lute Air Student Radio. I am your host. My name is Christian Bond. I am accompanied today by Kellen Westring. Kellen, how are you doing today? How was your spring break?
Christian, I'm doing great, fellas. It's great to be back from a two-week hiatus. I went to Arizona over spring break, went to Sun City, Christian and Drew, and didn't get to catch any baseball games. My grandma had a tough kind of a knee injury a couple days prior, and so I got to kind of hang out with her, though, and enjoy the sun. So that was a lot of fun. But I got to tell you guys, the restaurants in Arizona, I mean, they're unbelievable. And just think about this for a second. Picture this, and this is real. In Westgate, right by the football stadium, they have Chick-fil-A.
Ooh.
Right next to Chick-fil-A is In-N-Out Burger.
All right.
Panda Express on the other side.
Oh, man.
And then Chipotle. Now, those are just fantastic four restaurants right there.
That's like the fast food mecca.
It really is. And it's one of those things where it's so just smart in the way that they constructed it, because it's right by the stadium. And then I also went to a restaurant. I don't think it's in Washington. It's called The Roadhouse.
Yeah.
I don't think it's in Washington. I'm not sure if anyone's ever heard of that, but it's called The Roadhouse, again, right by the stadium. And they had this macaroni and cheese with bacon. I mean, it was unbelievable. And then they, you know, the pizookies that they have at BJ's, right? The pizookies, they kind of put them in that little silver round bowl. It was a brownie pizookie with ice cream and powdered sugar. Guys, I'm telling you what, they do the restaurants right there. I'm in the restaurant business. I talked to their servers. They have three table sections, which means the turnover rate is extremely fast, which also means that they don't want all these servers having about eight tables because they want their focus on these three tables. They probably had about 20 servers. The wait was about 45 minutes. Totally worth it, though, because you wait outside, you look at the palm trees, you picture Larry Fitzgerald in the stadium, all that kind of great stuff. And they also have another guy just walking around the restaurant asking how their experience was. And I just think that is so vital in the restaurant business, and it just shows how good of a restaurant and just how great, in my opinion, the state of Arizona is, fellas.
So did you and Dad just gain like 10 pounds over spring break? Is that what I'm hearing?
Well, to be honest with you, Drew, I worked out every day, but I went by myself. My dad stayed here. He had to recruit. He had to be a father and all that great stuff. But I got to go down by myself. And I'm telling you guys, Arizona, Sun City, Lord willing, when I retire, when I'm about 60-ish, I want to live there, guys. I want to live there.
That sounds like you had a great spring break. Drew Artisoni is back in studio.
Finally.
Drew, how you been, man?
Yeah, what has it been? 3 weeks since I've been in here. I missed the show, and then we had our spring break.
Yeah, it's been a while.
I was like, it's finally good to be back. After
well, it was interesting. The ratings went up when you weren't here. I don't know.
The week I was gone, I was in Texas. Got to watch the Warriors play the Mavericks, so I got to could not miss some Warriors basketball.
And who won that game?
Let's see here. Warriors won.
Warriors did win.
Yeah, Clay had 39.
Wow.
Which was absolutely awesome. And hey, Christian, am I getting picked up here on the mic a little bit?
You are a little bit, I think. I can see the levels bounce.
I can't hear myself in my headphones for some reason.
All right, well, we'll get that worked on.
Yeah, so
we can always share. I don't mind.
We can always share. Yeah, so we got to go to the Warriors game, which was fun, and then we had spring break. So, just back in California, getting ready for the big move to Texas. And yeah, just watched a lot of March Madness. So, great spring break.
Sounds good, man.
Well, we're going to get to March Madness later in the show, folks. But I want to remind those of you that are listening, most of these stories we will be talking about today can be found at massmedia.plu.edu. We want to hear from you guys, listeners, throughout the show. Feel free to call into the show at any time. The number to call is 253-535-7332. Once again, that's 253-535-7332.
All right, we are going to kick off the show with an interview that I have no idea how we landed. I have no idea how we got this one, all right? This man has been in his current position since February of 2004, all right? This guy understands how to win. In his time, he has accumulated a record of 64 and 46, and two of the last 3 years, his team has been in the national playoffs, all right? Joining us in studio is the head coach of the Pacific Lutheran University Lutes football team, Scott Westring. Scott, how are you doing today?
Doing great, Christian. It's good to be with you guys.
Let's see here. Okay, do I get to ask the first question?
You do, Drew.
You don't get to ask your dad the first question. It's a miracle how we got this interview. With
I don't
this,
know. I mean,
you know, prestigious head coach.
I'm surprised.
You never know.
I'm surprised you picked up the phone.
Yeah, connections, I guess. So, Coach, how's the offseason been?
It's been great, Drew. As we'd say, busy but good. It's kind of funny. People typically come up to you and say, well, geez, what do you do when the season's over? They think you sit in a Chase lounge chair and drink lemonade and all that good stuff. And anyway, that being said, obviously when the season does come to an end, not that you don't have it kind of partially on during the season even, but you put your full-fledged recruiting hat on and you start right in. Our staff has been out. Judd Kime, my assistant head coach, coordinates all our recruiting, does an incredible job with all of that. And we divide up areas and schools and those kinds of things, and then just start prospecting and going to see schools and meeting coaches and setting up times, because obviously it's before the holidays there. So we don't typically bring kids to campus till after the first of the year. And so we start talking with them then, start talking about looking at some days on the calendar that make some sense in January. January is pretty busy time also. Typically us as a coaching staff, most of us head off to the national convention. The coaches convention is a pretty amazing thing. There's about 7,000 college football coaches that gather somewhere in the country. This past year it was in San Antonio, but from there to Orlando to Nashville or Anaheim, wherever. But we go there for about 5 days, and it's always a great time there to rub shoulders with some of your coaching brothers and all that good stuff. And then you get back and you jump right into it. And then we start having kids a little later in January start to come and visit. And you many times, folks maybe have seen our football guys guiding them around on tours and stuff like that. And we so encourage parents to come when kids come to visit. So they come and spend their time with their visit. And then we put a full-fledged time with coaches and recruit DVD and all that kind of stuff together. So that's kept things really, really busy. And now we've kind of turned the corner after spring break and looking forward, which I know we're going to talk about here heading into spring practice.
Yeah.
Now, Dad, you know, when you
were... I got to pause you right there. So how does that work on the field and in practice? Does he call you Dad or Coach or Scott? How does that work?
Well, the reason why I call him Dad is when I first committed to, you know, Peely, when I had the whole press conference, just kidding. You know, when I committed.
When you had the U hat and then Alabama and the PLU hat.
And he says, I'm going to take my talents to Parkland, Washington.
I asked him, I said, what did you call my grandpa Frosty? Did you call him Coach? Did you call him Dad? Did you call him Frosty? What did you call him?
Because this is a legacy.
Exactly. Yeah. So, and he said he called him Dad. So I said, I'm going to continue that legacy and call my dad Dad.
Because I played for my dad pretty much till high school, mm-hmm. and I never let me call him Dad on the field.
So Everyone's different. Look at it through different lenses. But,
all right, you could ask your question now. I apologize for interrupting you.
So, Scott, no.
I was curious, too. Yeah. That's a great question.
What'd you call me?
So, Scott.
Well, if I call him coach, he'll call me player. So,
oh, yeah. There's that rule.
That's fair. That's fair.
So, Dad, I guess when you're recruiting, what are you looking for? What kind of kid are you looking for? When you go to games, when you take those house visits, when you walk into a high school, you're in the halls of Puyallup High School, what are you looking for when you sit down? Obviously, the coaches normally, they'll gather about 6 to 8 guys. You'll sit there in a room. What are you looking for in a recruit?
Well, as a coach, when you look at the philosophy of your program and who you are and what you're about, in essence, that's what you're recruiting. You're not necessarily recruiting, as we'd say, the best players, but you're recruiting the right players. And obviously, they got to be able to play and all. And then you look at the fit here academically at PLU and how a young man needs to look at this as the true balance of being a student athlete. That if a kid's just looking for a place to go play ball, we're probably not going to be the fit for him. And with the culture and environment of our program and how it's been, it's kind of interesting with my father, your grandpa, coaching here for 32 years and me for 12. A Westering has sat on a captain's chair here for 44 years. So been here for a long time. And so the reputation of what the program's about, the kinds of kids we're looking for, most coaches know what that is. And so when we do come to a high school, a lot of times coaches have already put kids through filters, you know, and kids, if he's a great, great player, but he's a selfish eye guy, it's all about him. And he's got his head in the clouds and thinking he's going to play up the food chain or whatever it is. We won't necessarily even talk to a kid like that. So it's pretty cool to get into a situation where coaches know who we are, know what we're about, and how different we are than even Northwest Conference schools. And everybody's a real nice shot. We just do it differently. I always kind of share with the fact that, my dad was a Marine. You know, your grandpa was a Marine, and you kind of look at their recruiting slogan, which is what we're looking for: a few good men. You know, we're not looking for everybody. We're looking for a few good men, and I kind of analogize it to the jewel of the state of Washington here, at least Western Washington, Mount Rainier, that sits here. And there's lots of ways to climb Mount Rainier. On that note, fellas, how high is Mount Rainier? Any of you guys know how tall Mount Rainier is?
I need a lifeline.
Any listeners out there? Yeah.
I'm lost.
You guys, or is our tax dollars at work? There it is. Anyway, it's 14,000.
I was told there'd be no math.
14,410 feet. But anyway, there's some basic ways to climb it.
Yeah.
But if we're going to take our football team climb that mountain, we're going to climb it the backside. We're going to climb it a different way, in a unique way, an uncommon way. We're talking about kind of being a, another analogy would be we're kind of doing things like salmon. What do salmon do? They swim upstream.
Yep.
And so based off that culture and the environment of what we're kind of looking for with young men, they have to portray to us that they're looking for more than just, as I said, a place to go play ball. They, it has to come out of them that they understand this student-athlete balance. And then likewise, our whole model of doing what we do is different. How we look at winning and losing and how we, as a staff, how we treat our young men and how we go about the way of coaching and striving to get the best out of kids in relationship to so many coaches and so many programs kind of use the big three to motivate kids. They're going to use fear. You know, if I make you guys, if you're all my players, I make you afraid, I can get you to do something. I can dangle the carrot. I can use incentive and get you to do something. Or I can intimidate you and get you to do something. But if you use all three of those, typically the relationship never develops between players and coaches. And then ultimately, it's a very shallow relationship. And then when things get tight in a game, in a season, basically everybody circles their own wagons and says, the heck with this. This is about me getting mine and kind of do it that way. And so for us, we always look at motivating kids, coaching kids through their heart, through their attitudes. And if we can look to do that, if we can make and help form you guys, grow your attitudes, we know you're going to be better football players. And then we're going to get you to enjoy the game. We're going to get you to look at this in an uncommon way. We're going to try to close that, what we call it, your potential performance gap in your ability. We're going to enjoy the trip as we go. And then we're also going to teach you how to serve. And that's, for us, that's, you know, taking Lutheran, shorten it to Lutes. That's L, love the game. U, uncommon. T, total release. E, enjoy the trip. And S, servant warrior. And that's, and sharing it. If you guys are like recruits, you're hearing the recruiting spiel right now, because that's how we share our program.
That's exactly right. So all that stuff is great. We're getting ready. You mentioned earlier, spring football gets underway for your team today. You know, what's the temperature like? Are the guys ready? Are you ready?
Guys are bouncing off the walls. I think any of you out there that have football guys living in your dorms, you see them in the chow hall, you see them in the workout facility, names and whatever. Excuse me. They are very, very excited and ready to go. And then, of course, we're blessed with this great weather to kick it off this afternoon. And right. So, and then this beautiful practice facility that we have that came online, whatever, 3 years ago. So all of the standard elements are there. But and then we've had some every year we take our seniors and we have during the springtime, we have senior leadership development meetings. And we got a pretty big senior class this year. We're at about 23 or 24 seniors. And those guys, knowing it's their last go around, last time to go down this path, so to speak. And then coming off of kind of how last year went, they are very, very excited. And obviously, we as a staff had some great meetings and got ourselves ready to do it. It's kind of unique for us in Division III. Everybody thinks spring football. They think of the Huskies and all, and out there in their uniforms, and their spring game, and all that stuff. But in Division III, they only let us run around in shorts and T-shirts, so we can't use any gear. We can't put helmets on. We can't put shoulder pads on. we can't. It's supposed to be totally non-contact, so to speak. And so, it really limits what you do in football, because that's the element of that's football.
Yeah,
you know, it's the physical game. It's contact. It's all those things, and yet you can't do that in the spring. So it becomes a little bit of a challenge of how you put practices together and how you keep guys busy and that kind of thing. But overall, in a nutshell, by all means, Christian, we are so excited, ready to go.
You gave us a pretty good transition there, because my next question was, let's talk about a little bit about last season. I know we're a look forward program. We're looking forward to the next year, the next journey. Team went 2-7. Last year.
Mm-hmm.
It's not something that PLU football is used to at all. Granted there was a lot of different things that affected this team last year. I know you're not going to want to make excuses. Neither is Kellen going to make excuses for the team, but it just didn't look like PLU football last year. It's not something we were used to.
It was an anomaly year, yeah. Drew. It really was kind of a black hole year. And there were many, many things that contributed to it. First and foremost, coming out of the team the year before, we had the largest class in the history of PLU, 28 seniors
went
out the door.
It's a lot of guys.
Yeah, we lost 13 all-conference players. 13. And so when you take that total group of guys and then that number of talented guys out the door, a year ago, right now, as we headed into spring practice, we were unbelievably young and inexperienced and that going into spring practice.
So did you just spend a lot of time just offensive install, defensive install, working on that kind of stuff, just trying to get the guys up to speed? Or
to a degree, but through what we needed to do, because we were so young and inexperienced, we had to peel everything back, you know, because we're starting over again.
Pare down the offense.
Yeah, it's kind of like, you know, you're out at spring practice. Yeah. Honey, who is this guy? You know, because here we got guys that been starting. The waves that have rolled through the last 2 years. We lost 9 of 11 starters on defense the year before, 9 of 11 starters a year ago. And so we got so many fresh and new faces. And so we had to really work at peeling back the basics of what we were doing, at least offensively. Defensively, we made a paradigm shift. We went from a definitely a different defense.
Yeah, and it looked different.
Yeah, it was. And so not only have you inexperienced guys, but you got a new defense.
Yeah.
And so that always creates some learning curves and that kind of thing. And of course, spring ball ends up being a laboratory basically for mm-hmm. us. But I know Coach Craig, who runs our defense and all, experimented with a lot of things, and it was one of those things you kind of needed to do that, but then likewise you don't come out of spring really getting good at any one thing.
Yeah.
And that's kind of how it played last spring. We kind of decided what we wanted to do or not want to do, but now where do we go? We had to kind of start back over in the fall. We had three offensive linemen step away. Two of kids would have started for us in the fall. And for a variety of reasons, they stepped away.
They were each about 6'4", too.
Big kids.
Guys.
Big kids. Yeah. Big physical kids. And then we start into the season, and then it's just any number of things happen. The injury bug hit us right away. We had multiple injuries at quarterback, finished the season with our fourth team kid, mm-hmm. Walker Lavoie, who came, was a scout team quarterback for us first half of the season. He played the last 2.5 games for us at quarterback. In my 35 years of coaching here at POU, which is about twice as long as you guys have been alive, basically. But anyway.
You were talking about what? So 35 years? So what are we all? Yeah, I'm 21. You're what? 20.
Well,
you're
close. 20. All right. All
you're
right.
Old. Right. We don't talk about your age.
Not quite.
So, not quite. Coach, let's hear it.
But that being said, I've never had to deal with all of the unique layers that came into play last year. And yet what's amazing, Drew, and I think you talk to our guys, the beauty of what the year proved out to be is that mm-hmm. we really are who we say we are. You have to remind me. People have to remind me that we only won 2 ball games last year. I didn't dwell on it. We still had as much fun going out and practicing and pouring them, trying to get better. Every week in and week out, we finished with an incredibly competitive game against Linfield, the number 2 ranked team in the country that had been throwing 70 points on people.
Everybody.
Right, yeah.
Everybody.
Yeah. And an incredibly talented team. And if you got a chance to go to that game, our guys competed. They didn't care who Linfield was, and we achieved a level of competition, if you will, a level of efficiency and all that kind of stuff that we hadn't had all season with our fourth team quarterback out there and just going. And so we had a great, as we call it, visit kind of into the arena, our last game to build off of, to learn from, and see, okay, so this is what it takes to compete, you know, for this young group of guys. And so from that end of it, I've told many, many people, literally, all the years I've coached, involved in every one of these national championships we've been involved in here. We've won 4, played for 4 others in all these years, and I had as much fun coaching last year as I have ever had coaching.
So professional follow-up here before Kellen does his final two questions, wrap up here. So you're right, you did play 4 quarterbacks this year, all of which who are now coming back this year. It's going to be a fun quarterback battle in spring and football and fall football, right? It's going to be fun.
It is fun
to watch.
It is. And we're kind of unique in the fact John Schaub comes back as our senior.
Yeah, you have your senior.
He's our senior, yep. And then the other 3 young men go on to become sophomores now. Obviously John got hurt his knee. And then Cole Chandler, the guy that backed him up, hurt his shoulder.
Yep.
He's healed up. John had to have full surgery on his knee, so he's going to be limited a little bit in spring.
He'll just do 7-on-7, I think.
Pretty much, and then some linear stuff that way. He still has some healing time in front of him. So
it's going to be a fun battle, though.
Yeah, and I think the difference for us, Drew, is versus say, go north, go to Pete Carroll with the Seahawks.
Yeah.
They always talk about competition. Competition mm-hmm. what drives us, makes guys better. But so much of that's what it's all about, then the hooray for me and nuts to you attitude prevails. It's really, if we all got our candles here, I'd rather go blow all your candles out and say, Coach, here's mine.
Yeah.
Well, then how does that build a team? How does that build relationships with us?
Yeah.
So I refer to the way we go about it as cooperative competition. Mm-hmm. Our quarterbacks are going to be out there all pushing each other, wanting each other to succeed, and yet still, we call it the double win, getting the best out of yourself and a teammate.
Yep.
And if you do that and you learn how to joystick the success of each other, the strength that comes in your team building is unparalleled, especially at that position. Mm-hmm. So it's going to happen at lots of positions, not just quarterback. Mm-hmm. But that's the joy, to see these guys push each other, encourage each other, and enjoy the trip.
Yep.
We got a few minutes here, Dad. But my last two questions. First question would be, you got a favorite football movie?
Favorite football movie.
There's so many good ones. That's awesome.
Wow. That is that is a tough one. The Blind Side's a fun one, mm-hmm. One of the more recent ones, and how that's put the unique story behind that and all. Facing the Giants, that's kind of a unique one in the stories that are behind that football movie. That'd be a couple of them.
Yeah. And then my last question today for you, Dad. This is a tough one. Your favorite memory of being the head football coach at PLU so far in your career?
Wow, favorite memory being the head coach.
You're hitting him with some tough questions here. Yeah. Here at the end, you're making it count.
You didn't tell me I was going to have to deal that one when I got here. But, golly, to pinpoint it as any one given thing is really hard, Kellen.
It is.
I think, as always, each year, the feeling you get when the season comes to an end and you look at your guys and you see, especially your seniors, and you see these guys that have gone from being kind of wet behind the ears freshmen and you see the men they've become.
On and off the field.
Yeah, and especially that. Because I always tell our guys, if I'm talking to you guys, football's the easy part to me. It's life's. There's the real challenge. And so if I have a chance to get a phone call from an employer to say I get a chance to talk to them about Christian or Drew or Kellen and get a chance to express to that employer, this dude's a special guy. Mm-hmm. And then for the employer to come back to me, you don't have to tell me that, Coach. I've already interviewed him. We're going to offer him a job, and we are very, very excited about him. We've done our work in the role we have as a coach. Yeah, we can win a bunch of trophies and all that stuff, but if we don't grow you guys as young men, I was at a home visit recruit last night. I looked at the parents when I left, and I said, if all we do is make your son a great football player in 4 years at POU, come ask me for a refund.
Yeah.
Because I said, we have the opportunity, next to moms and dads, we have the greatest opportunity to mold young guys into men and have the input in that one way or the other, positive or negative or whatever it is. And so, as I told those folks last night, we take that very seriously. We don't just kind of coach talk, recruiting talk, hey, so we're going to teach your son life lessons and all that stuff, but then don't do it. So many don't do it in their programs. Mm-hmm. I think that's at the main core, one of the foundational blocks of our program. And so that's, in some ways, Kellen, some of the most rewarding memories of that, to see guys who came in and now they're just, oh my gosh, they're ready for mom and dad's real world to go out to be great employers, great husbands, and Lord willing, fathers. That's the fulfilling stuff.
Well, Coach, thank you so much for coming in today. We know you got to get back to, got spring practice. You got to get your recruiting hat back on. Thank you for spending the time. We know it's valuable. And thank you for coming in. Appreciate
it. Drew, Christian, Kellen, thank you guys. Joy to be with you.
Thanks again, Dad. Folks, we're going to take a short break. When we come back, Tanner Bogart of PLU Baseball will join us to talk about how the season has been and what the Lutes look to get done in their final home series of the regular season. This is Mass Radio Sports Talk presented by 2.5 Athletes on Lute Air Student Radio.
Baseball is a game. It's about hitting. It's about catching. It's about throwing. But most of all, it's about having fun. Why do some ball players dip or chew tobacco?
I don't really know, but what I can tell you is it doesn't make them better ball players.
And when they try to quit, it's not fun.
So please, do yourself a favor. Just play the game.
Message furnished by Major League Baseball and the Major League Baseball Players Association.
Welcome back, folks, to Mass Radio Sports Talk presented by 2.5 Athletes on Lute Air Student Radio. Again, if you want to call into the show, do it. The number is 253-535-7332. Again, that is 253-535-7332. Guys, we have a senior captain outfielder, Tanner Bogart, with us today. Tanner, how are you, bro?
Good, good. Thanks for having me on the radio. Appreciate it.
No problem. You got a great face for radio.
Thank you.
Oh, see, that's just messed up. Why do you got to start off hating
on him? I love that. That's such a good line.
Don't start off hating on him. Bogart, it's great to have you in, buddy.
Thank you. As long as they can just hear my voice taking a picture of me, however.
Hey, they never know you were 6'5", 225, right?
6'5", 225, yeah.
Just by your voice.
Yeah, thank you. That's appreciate sure. it.
All right, we were on spring break last week, but the baseball team got to go down to California.
That's right.
Right, you guys went on a nice little road trip there. You were 3-1 in California. Tell us about the road trip there, man.
Yeah, so we went down, played Pomona Pitts her first day, and crazy thing, actually. So we get down there and routine warm-up, get through it, and then there's no umpires 5 minutes before game time, so everyone's like, oh, we'll give them a couple minutes.
Typical baseball.
45 minutes into the game time, no umpires. An hour into the game, no umpires, and we're like, yo, are we not going to play today? And their coach goes, oh, yeah, I found umpires. We're going to play at 7:30 now at Chapman. So get on the bus at 4:45.
So Corey Nelson's all warmed up.
Yeah.
Sorry, so we've gone through complete warm-up, infield, outfield.
BP, whole
everything.
Shenanigans.
We're not going to play.
I'm annoyed for you at this point.
So everyone's like, all right, well, hopefully we stop and get food. And our coach's like, we're going straight to the field. And everyone's like, oh, man, it's going to be a long day. So we get to Chapman about an hour later, stop at the grocery store, get some food, get onto the field, and then beautiful ballpark, actually. Chapman has hosted, I think, 6 of the last, 12 regionals for the West Coast. So it's got to be at a nice stadium. And then when it came to game time, our team just turned it on. Corey pitched a heck of a game. I think he only gave up 2-3 hits in his 6 innings of work. He dealt our hitters, came out, played. Cantu had a couple doubles. Packard had a couple doubles. Thompson was swinging it well, and I think we won 9-0, maybe 9-1. It was a good offensive showing.
So that's got to feel good after a pretty annoying start to your day.
Yeah, it's
got to feel good.
It was one of those where if we came out and played bad, it would have been easy to use the excuse of, oh, we had to deal with this environment. But so we came out, swung it well, and it was good confidence to start out the road trip.
Mm-hmm. You know, you guys struggled earlier in the season. I mean, I say struggled. That's because, I mean, I guess there was such high expectations or whatever from last year. Everyone was looking for you guys to never lose a game ever. But when did the so talk to us about the struggle and, like, when what was the difference making, like, moment or game where you were like, okay, this is different now. This is the point where everything's going to go back to the way it was.
Yeah, there was definitely high expectations to start the year. I think we ranked 14th or 16th preseason. But, I mean, at the end of the day, it didn't really mean anything. We came out, and we just weren't clicking all three units between pitching, defense, and hitting. Some games we'd have the hitting there, but our pitching and defense were. Another time our pitchers would come out and shove, and we couldn't, you know, buy a run to save our lives. So I think it was, you know, right before there was the Willamette series at home that we swept them, and from then it's kind of been the turning point of, you know, try to win every series, and then going down to George Fox and beating a competitive, tough George Fox team at their place and grinding out game two when we were down 4-2, I think, in the 6-2, I think, in the eighth inning. We scored 8 runs to take a lead, and then come back Sunday and or Saturday because it was Easter Sunday, come back Saturday and scoring 2 in the top of the 11th to win it was just a gutsy performance, and that led to our spring break road trip in Cali and going 3-1 down there. We're starting to peak at the right time, and at the end of the day, it's not necessarily how you start, but it's how you finish. And
yep.
Finish these last 2 weeks on a high note, we'll be a dangerous team in the tournament.
That's exciting, Tanner. Now, you've had two great coaches here at PLU. The first one, Jeff Loomis, who is now down in Portland. And now, you know, head coach Nolan Soti, who was one of those guys where he's kind of a feeder coach because he's been with the program for a while. Talk a little bit about the difference between those two coaches. Like you mentioned before, you know, off the air, they're both great coaches. But what's different about them and all that kind of great stuff?
Yeah, so I have a lot of respect for Loomis, the way he came up in baseball, and he made it to the pro level. And a guy like that has a lot to say more than us at the D3 level can understand. And, you know, sometimes he pushed you beyond your limits and you're just wondering, how could I do this? But Nolan has the same thing. He pushes us every day. He has that same winning mentality, but helping you first. And that's been something you could ask anyone on our team, that he's always been there for us, like striving, putting in extra work, you know, before and after practice when we need it. And that's, I think, two great qualities of a coach that they each had, is putting in the extra work for us and being there to guide us through tough times and not pointing out our flaws, which, you know, a new coach, if he were to come to an organization, might have his own philosophy, but Soti was just following Loomis, which has worked over the last, you know, 7-8 years, and especially last year, and he's been a tremendous coach this year, and he's a great guy.
So you think he was the right guy for the job?
Yeah, I definitely think he was the right guy.
I think it was a great hire by Laurie Turner to keep it in-house, someone that you guys know, comfortable with.
And someone who played here. He's been here the last 15 years from a player right to his assistant coach. So he knows the ropes. He knows the program. He knows us. So it was great, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he's been an understudy of Loomis. So, you know, not that much would change as far as the way that I think, not that much would change just because he's been under Loomis for so long and worked with Loomis, that it was really an easy transition for you guys. Is that safe to say?
Yeah, I'd safe to say it. In general, it's easy to work for a new head coach who's been in the program, knows the ropes, and he's been a major key to our success.
Mm-hmm. Tanner, what do you think the toughest thing is about playing baseball?
That's tough. I mean, you play a game where you fail 7 out of 10 times in the MLB, and you're great. So.
And you're 300 hitters, sometimes an all-star, most of the time an all-star.
Yeah, I mean, we got Drew Ward's leading our team in hitting right now. I think he's hitting like 350, 360, and he'll have games where he stands out, and then he'll go 0-2, 0-3, and you're like, gosh, Drew can't buy a hit. But then all of a sudden he gets a couple more, and you're like, oh, he's back on fire again. It's just the hardest thing is staying consistent, I think. You know, it's a long year, and you have to accept you're going to have tough times, and you're going to have great times where the baseball seems like a beach ball, and every time you hit it, you're loving it. But like with anything in life, you just got to battle through and know you're good at what you do and just keep grinding.
So let's go to the professional level now. I mean, we all watch pro baseball here, maybe except for Kellen.
Go on.
Probably
not
Kellen. I don't know if Kellen's a pro baseball guy.
You know, I watch Cano.
Okay, that's fair.
He's got a great smile.
Let's go to the pro level now. Okay, Bryce Harper has this, I call it a campaign. I don't know. What do they call it? A social action campaign. Let's call it that way. Make baseball fun again. Now, What do you think? I mean, has baseball? I mean, you of course love the game. You think it's fun. You play at the college level, but do you think professional baseball is getting old? Is it not fun anymore?
No, I mean, I love watching every day. Watching those guys, lace up every day, go out there, battle, Syndergaard and Harvey and Chris Sale throwing 97, 98 with movement. And guys are hitting home runs, just mammal shots. You have to respect that, and you got to love that guys have just perfected their craft to be able to do that. And I love the Major League game, though. I love the way Harper plays. He swings hard. He's not afraid to get in your face and cleats up, got to respect that.
I mean, you hear the old guys, the veterans of the game, complain about the bat flips and the celebrations and all that stuff that is now just become a part of the game. It's things that give the game character. Like, are you really going to, yell at Bryce Harper for flipping his bat or Batista for flipping his bat?
I think they're just old cranky guys.
Yeah, because it's not a part of it. Yeah, to quote Colin Kaepernick, it's old cranky old guys. I don't understand. The game's meant to be fun, right? It's a kid's game. Parents just screwed up. It's what's been said forever, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
I mean, do you like all that stuff? Do you think it adds to the game? I mean, you play with AJ Konopowski, probably the most animated pitcher I've ever seen. So, I mean, what do you think? I mean,
I love it. I mean, sometimes in practice, we'll joke around. We're taking BP and you hit one. You kind of flip your bat and joke about it. It's just the way the game's going. I mean, they compare it to, when the Warriors are playing, Pippen says, oh, I'd shut down Curry. They're too flashy. But at the end of the day, it's your personality. It's the way you play. And if you're smashing the baseball, hitting dingers, it's pitcher's fault for leaving over the middle of the plate.
Flip your bat.
Exactly.
Throw it into the stands.
I love that attitude.
Celebrate it. Walk around the base. It's up to you.
I mean, sports are supposed to be fun, right? You're supposed to enjoy them. You've played since you were young, T-ball. Why can't you have fun, when you're a professional?
If you're going to go buy tickets, you're going to go buy tickets to see Mike Trout play or, Bryce Harper play. Mm-hmm. And if one of those guys hits something, you want to see him have a little bit of fun.
Yeah, if I see Cano tonight hit a dinger, I hope he walks around the bases, puts his bat down, just takes his time.
That's
what you love.
Make baseball fun, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, Tanner, do you think baseball should have less games? Let's say you take 20 games out of the regular season and possibly extend the playoffs 2 weeks to have maybe a total of 6 weeks of playoffs. Your thoughts on that? There's 162 games. That's a lot of baseball games. A lot of wear and tear.
Yeah, if the Mariners are having a good season, I say don't take away those 20 games. But if they're over 500, we'll keep it. But, I like the way the season is. It's a good transition. It's nice to be able to watch baseball every day in the summer. And things get exciting down in the end of the year when it's, 32 degrees and they're in Colorado playing a playoff game and guys are getting after it. I'd say keep the 20 games. Don't add the extra weeks into the playoffs because, right as baseball ends, it's right into football season. So it's perfect timing for, a sports viewer like myself or you guys that right as baseball ends, you're right into the swing of football. And it's good. I like the season the way it is.
Yeah, I like it. I like it this way, too.
I think it's too long.
We know Kellen thinks it's too long.
But that was a tough deal the week
two weeks ago. It was. That's fine. Let's go local with it. You big Mariners guy?
I love the Mariners.
There it is. All right. 2-1 start. Had a good series down in Texas. Cano has 4 home runs. That's all he's hit. What do you think so far?
Well, I'd just like to point out to Kyler Blades that the Mariners have a better record than the Angels right now, just so he knows that. But,
yes.
Love the hot start right now. They're one game over 500 the whole season of last year, so we'll take it right now. But I think the most important thing for them is just getting off to a hot start because we know they're going to streak at some point. It's the Mariners, for heaven's sake. But as long as they get off to a hot start and have a minimal crap streaks, then we'll be okay.
So here's my question for you. I mean, Cano's probably doing his best Pedro Serrano impersonation ever right now. A little home run or strikeout. What's going on?
I was talking about this with my roommates. I said, would you take Cano for 80 home runs and hit a .150? And they all said, yeah, because that's a guaranteed at least 80 to 160 RBI. So.
All right.
What do you guys think? Would you take that?
That's absolutely fair.
If people are on base in front of him, yeah.
Yeah.
A one-run home run means nothing.
Yeah.
Honestly, it's just a run. But if you got people on base and he's hitting 80 home runs in the season, they're going to win ball 50? Games. Yeah.
I would take it.
Yeah.
I don't care.
Putting runs on the board.
He's a great defensive player, so 80 dingers and a .150, we'll take it.
Now, Tanner, there's been some great baseball movies that have been produced.
Gosh,
just some great movies. Right. I asked my father previously before you his favorite football movie. Now I got to ask you the question, your favorite baseball movie, and then I'm going to give you mine.
I mean, for me, it'd just be Sandlot because it was the first baseball movie.
That's
classic.
A classic. But if we had to go
I forgot about that one. That's a great one.
How do you forget about that? It's just a classic movie. Shows his love for the
Damn,
game.
Damn, Kellen, you're killing me, Smalls.
Dude, call me on the air.
But, you're killing me, Smalls.
Outside of that, I have to say Benchwarmers is just a classic funny movie. Always a good laugh.
Dude, that was like two complete opposite spectrums of movie.
I know.
Kellen, what's your favorite baseball movie?
My favorite baseball movie. The Rookie's good. I like Dennis Quaid. It's not great. It's good. That's a B-minus kind of movie. My favorite baseball movie, I got to go with my man Brad Pitt in Moneyball. It changed the game.
Very interesting.
You talk about great acting, Jonah Hill, overweight, kind of fluctuates. You never know what kind of weight he'll be.
Yeah, you never know what.
I mean, it's unbelievable.
You never know if he's going to be 160 or 260.
I don't know how he does it. I got to see his diet. But, I mean, Tanner, you talk about just the insides and outs of baseball. You know, and some people think baseball is a boring game. But in my opinion, that movie, it's so awesome to watch the numbers, what it takes to, you know, let guys go, how that pressure is. Your thoughts on Moneyball, the movie.
I mean, Jonah Hill's weight definitely affected his on base percentage. That's why he kept it up. He was just finding ways to get on.
Wow.
That is awesome.
I think that's a great movie. It definitely shaped the way that baseball has been played since. You know, there's teams that use those statistics. And for us, like, sometimes we look at on base percentage is super underrated. You know, if you're only hitting 200, but you're finding ways, like Kurt last year, his on base percentage was almost 500. And he only hit 310, 315. So, you know, where's the...
Oh, he only hit 310. See, that's it only because I broadcasted every game of your guys last year.
Yeah, and
every
Colin game. And Tyler.
Okay, going into the playoffs, there was not a guy in the starting lineup hitting under 310.
See, that's the thing. And then Kurt's on base at
ridiculous.
Almost 500.
Yeah. So then there was that. And then their top six guys weren't hitting below 350.
I know.
It's a good team. Good ball club.
Not bad.
Yeah.
Alright.
So Kellen, are we done with Tanner? Can we send him on his way? Go back to the weight room?
I don't want to be done with Tanner, but Tanner, you know, due to time constraints, we gotta be done. So Tanner, thank you so much for being here, buddy.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. Look forward to see everyone out at senior weekend, our last home series
against
so
the Loggers.
See you guys out there.
It'll
thanks
be awesome.
For
yeah.
Appreciate it, guys.
All right, folks, we're gonna take a short break. When we come back, we're gonna take a look at how PLU softball has been doing. This is Mass Radio Sports Talk presented by 2.5 Athletes on Loot Air Student Radio.
Hi, I'm Jenny Finch. As a pitcher, I love a save. But when it comes to kids, the greatest save is the one we never have to make. That's why the Chicago Bandits and Major League Baseball support KinderVision, the national child safety education program dedicated to keeping kids safe. Kids, don't go anywhere with anyone without checking with your parents. If your parents don't know, you don't go. Kids, learn from Little Red Riding Hood. If you don't feel safe, you probably aren't. Remember red, use your head.
Join the KinderVision team. The greatest save is the one we never have to make.
All right, folks, welcome back to Mass Radio Sports Talk presented by 2.5 Athletes. The show is brought to you by Mass Media on Loot Air Student Radio. If you want to call into the show, the number to do so is 253-535-7332. Once again, give us a call at 253-535-7332. Quick break, guys. My grandma just texted me and said, you forgot two great restaurants in Arizona. So Abuelo's Mexican Restaurant.
Plug back to the restaurant.
Let's go back to a shameless restaurant.
Abuelo's a Mexican restaurant. And also Mercer's, which is kind of a great breakfast place, kind of compared to the original Pancake House. So Grandma Jackie, thank you so much for listening in Sun City, Arizona. Uncle Ron, Aunt Nancy, we appreciate you guys listening into the show. But fellas, let's talk a little bit about
PLU. Hold on, whoa. You got your shout-outs out. Let Christian get his
okay.
Done.
That's fair.
No. This is just sometimes I think that Kellen is really making some of this stuff up. I really don't believe him sometimes.
Oh.
This is for the listeners at home.
Do I need to show you the text?
He was truly reading off of his phone.
So I was truly reading.
Grandma
I
is
appreciate
listening.
That. I
grandma
appreciate
is listening,
that.
And she wanted to make sure that those restaurants got it. That's not from Kellen. That's from Grandma. Kellen was reading his phone.
That's awesome.
That's fair.
Good job. All right, appreciate that, Christian.
So hold on. Whose idea was it to put all these public service announcements on this?
We should be getting
sponsored. Was that our brilliant producer, Christian Bond?
Well, it was a suggestion from the higher-ups here at Pacific Lutheran University.
I like it.
It's different.
It is different. I do like it.
Kids don't jump in strangers' cars. So
yeah,
there's one plug.
Yeah, there's the plug. There's the PSA plug.
That is big time advice. So, guys, let's talk a little bit about PLU softball,
yeah,
shall we?
Let's go softball.
You know, normally we spend time recapping the previous weekend's events. This week, I want to highlight a few players who have had a great season for the Lutes. Drew, now obviously you're normally a broadcaster for the softball games. Who is a certain player that has stood out to you throughout this year?
It starts with Marissa Miller. I've watched weekends where Marissa Miller's thrown 17 innings in a weekend. For us baseball-minded folk in this room, that seems mind-boggling. I say she's the Madison Bumgarner of the team. She's the rubber arm. and you can always count her to throw the ball. She doesn't make a lot of mistakes, throws the ball hard, has a changeup that I've seen girls swing through and spin around twice on. It's
so
filthy.
Slow.
Is it Jamie Moyer-ish?
It's she goes from she'll just be like piping.
Right.
Fastball, 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 rise ball, rise ball, rise ball, and all of a sudden change up, bottom will drop out of the thing, and I swear to you it's a 20-mile-per-hour difference, women just fan at it.
So she's the Felix Hernandez of Peel U softball.
It's filthy. It's filthy. I did the last two weekends for them. This pitch is crazy. Everything looks so fast.
Everything's
popping
so
the glove.
Same.
And then here comes the same delivery, and then the pitch is just so slow.
She works works fast for softball, which is really hard to do. She's a get back on the mound, I'm going to blow the next pitch by you kind of worker. She doesn't take the long walk, talk to every infielder, get back in the circle. She just toes the rubber and goes. And it's awesome. I can't say enough about what Marissa Miller does from the mound. And, you know, she varies her delivery, doesn't dig in the glove a lot. She's you know, very cerebral with how she approaches.
And I think she went to Puyallup High School.
She went to Puyallup, yes, correct.
Went to Puyallup, okay.
So I know that's my player. I mean, we could sit here and talk about Marissa's stats forever. Mm-hmm. But, you know, she's going to be, you know, the backbone of that pitching staff.
And she's tall. She's 5'10", 5'11"?
Yeah, she's tall, strong,
yep.
Throws snot out of the
See
ball.
See her in the weight room from time to time.
It's great. But that's my player. I know the player that Christian wants to highlight is the one who gets to throw the ball back to her every single time.
The battery, This girl is insane. All right, so like I said, I broadcasted the last two weekends over spring break. I was stuck on campus, but it was really a good time.
You say that like it's a bad thing. Softball team's playing really well.
That's what I was saying.
Your Snapchat story said otherwise.
Okay. All right, that's not
throw them under the bus.
That's not fair.
Chuck them under the bus.
No. It was a good time. I've never really watched, to be honest, POU softball until I had to go out there and broadcast the games. It was a good time. A player that stood out to me was Nicole Schroeder.
Instant offense.
Listen to these numbers. She's batting .415 with five home runs and 25 runs
and
batted
in. That's not .415 with like 15, 20 at-bats. How many at-bats does she have?
I did not look that up.
Ridiculous number.
.415 is the one that catches my eyes.
I think she started every game at catcher.
She catches. Okay, they play two doubleheaders Saturday, Sunday, right?
Yep.
It's 28 innings.
Yep.
She catches all of them. And she gets up there and produces when she's in the batter's
box. So think about that, ladies and gentlemen. For every pitch that Ellie Rosbach and Marissa Miller throw, she's throwing it back to them. So it's not like an overhand. So it's not like her arm's getting a break. No one thinks about breathing a catcher.
Catching is hard.
I think it's underrated.
Catching's a hard work. Catching is the grunt work of baseball that no one wants to do. Mm-hmm. And you're really special if you're a really good catcher. And if you're a catcher who can hit in either baseball or softball, forget it. They'll find a spot for you.
Yeah.
They'll find a spot for you.
They'll figure it out. I mean, just from you talked about work rate earlier, the 28 innings, she catches all of them. No complaints. She's back there hitting the snot out of the ball. She's just a great player for POU. I believe she's a transfer.
What year is she?
She's a transfer.
She's a transfer.
Transfer,
So she's a junior. She's my age.
Junior transfer.
Wow.
Who is a stud. So if you go out and check out POU softball here in the final weeks of the season, look for Marissa Miller, look for Nicole Schroeder. Kellen, who else did we look for?
You know, fellas, for my softball player of the week, I guess you can call it, you know, mine has to be number 27 in Catherine Hatlin, a 5'11 freshman out of Woodinville, Washington. You know, you look at her stats.
Bomber.
They're pretty big time stats. I thought they were a typo, but no, these are the real stats here. She bats .310. That's solid. That's definitely a solid average.
For a freshman,
which
310?
With six home runs, that's
a lot of
29
pop.
29 RBIs.
A lot of pop.
I mean, it's one of those things. And she plays first base. I think Drew, you mentioned to me this during the break. She has a sister that played on the national championship team, so there's kind of a legacy built into that.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously,
those legacy families at POU, Hatlins, the Westerings, just golly, gee whiz.
They're special people.
They're special people.
It's a special presence.
No, running all over this place, man.
But no, those three, and like I said, the exciting thing about this, Catherine's a freshman, Marissa is a sophomore.
Mm-hmm.
She's a sophomore. And she'll be a junior.
Schroeder's a junior right
now. So they're
now.
All coming back, which
so
is
So they
exciting.
All come back. You have to remember, POU softball has two seniors. Wow. And they've been playing.
They're playing
and
really
they're
well.
Playing the number 3 and 4 teams in the country to within one or two runs. And they're returning everybody next year. They don't graduate one pitcher. They don't graduate one starter.
Wow. What's fantastic. The record? What's off the top of the head?
You guys know I don't know.
Is it over 500 though?
They're over 500.
Wait, they're third. I know they're third place in Northwest Conference.
Okay, they're third in Northwest Conference.
I know that for a fact. Okay. So I know Whitworth's in first. I know at one time this league was crazy and there was three teams tied for third place.
Gosh, Whitworth is just so baseball and
softball. I don't even want to talk about Whitworth.
They're just athletic.
Basketball.
Football.
Let's
swimming.
Not,
no, they were contenders in the swim meet.
Let's just
and track and field. They're really good at track and field, too.
I mean, yeah, but they can't.
I'm not kidding.
Yeah, but they can't get a solid live broadcast.
Okay.
So we have that on.
I'll throw shade from over here.
POU softball is 19-11.
19-11.
So they're getting
worked
on with.
So they're going to win 20. They're going to win 20 plus games this year.
Wow. Absolutely.
Good for Coach Glasso, man. That's awesome.
Is this his second year?
Yep.
Yes.
Second year. Okay. So he's got a daughter that plays at Rogers basketball with my younger sister Jessie. Got to talk to him a couple times. Great guy.
Is she going to come to PLU too?
That's a great question. That could be a tough deal.
Is that a tough deal? What about your other younger sister Jordan? She coming?
So Jordan, my older sister Jordan played basketball here.
Yeah,
Jessie.
Yeah. Excuse
She's
me.
Kind of in the recruiting process right now, looking at Seattle Pacific, Portland mm-hmm. State.
Is she going to come here?
I don't know. That's a great question.
Kellen, is she going
to
come here?
If I had to say, I would honestly say no.
I really would
genuinely say no. I think for her. The fact, you know, if my mom was the coach for the team, I think she'd want to play for her mom. But the fact that
you wanted to play for your dad.
Exactly. No offense against Coach Childress, a great coach. Jessie would come into a great program.
Coach Childress rebuilding a great
program.
Oh,
absolutely.
By the way, she's rebuilding.
No question.
Yeah. And it's headed the right direction.
And I think Jessie could, and you know, obviously I'm a little bit biased. I'm her, you know, older brother, but I think she could come in and play right away.
Yep.
But I think also she wants to try to play to, you know, whatever
the next
she
level.
Gets a scholarship
yeah.
and you mm-hmm. know, so we'll see what happens with that recruiting process. So but yeah, that'll be exciting.
So is there any pressure from dad?
Not at all.
Sister to be like, hey, you know.
Well, it could be important for the little one to get away from
her own person.
Yeah, that's the thing.
Exactly. And like I said, for myself, I had some opportunity, had a scholarship to play at Central, Portland State, Eastern, had a preferred walk-on spot at Oregon State. But I said, you know what? The big time is here at PLU to play for my dad. If my dad wasn't the coach here, I would have taken those opportunities. So the
Absolutely.
Fact that, you know, to continue on a legacy that's pretty uncommon, that's kind of why I chose to come here. So,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Good stuff, man. Any other softball players we should look out for, since that was how we started this segment?
we get off on some crazy tangents, guys. I mean,
you know, this is radio.
Yeah, that's radio. I mean, you have Jessica Wallace, who moved back from behind the plate to third base.
She's a stud.
She's a stud.
She had a home run.
She had a brick wall over there at third.
Nothing
she took. She took what she does at catcher to the hot corner, and it's worked out
great.
Well.
Yep.
I mean, Emily McConnell, I mean, you can't really say enough about
Emily.
It. I mean, she struggled at the beginning of the year with her bat, but it's getting better. She has an absolute hose.
Yes.
I've seen her throw people out from the warning track at home plate.
Yep.
It's just like you see the woman, you know, round second, head to third, going around third to head home, and Emily's got the ball in her glove at the warning track. I'm like, you're out. You're out. There's no way you're gonna get gunts from center.
Yep.
And I mean, I know Emily can put the ball against the center field wall and throw the ball on a line to home plate.
Mm-hmm. Which is pretty rare.
I mean, are you going to test that arm and a fly ball to center field? Or are you going to tag up?
Nope.
No, you're going to get thrown out.
Kind of reminds the Ichiro Suzuki at a right field, his arm.
Just to quote another Mariner. I mean, there's so many great outfielders. And why do you have to go with Ichiro Suzuki?
Well, he was my favorite player.
The Mariner.
He's the last one Kellen can remember.
Oh.
Just
tossing shade on Kellen's baseball knowledge.
Hey, Will
the
Willie
entire
Bloomquist?
Broadcast.
Willie just, Bloomquist? I don't know Willie Bloomquist.
He played
Mark
all
Macklemore.
Over the place. Oh,
Ken Griffey Jr., Aubrey Huff.
Stan Javier.
All right, let's get out of this segment before we have to insult Kellen some more. So what do we have next? We get national coverage after this? Do we have a music break, or what do we have coming up?
We do have national
here?
Coverage after this, but Drew, let me get to my quote here. So folks, we're going to take a quick short break. Drew.
Oh, my bad. I apologize. I'm ahead.
Drew's excited to talk about the Final Four. He's got his tights on right now. He's jumping up and
ready
down.
To go to the gym after this, Kellen. Gotta get that work in.
Well, I already did that, so I guess I'm
I know. I saw you there this morning. I saw you getting your work done. Good for you, buddy.
So folks, we're gonna take a short break. When we come back, we're gonna take our news national, as Drew mentioned, as also I've mentioned, and talk a little bit about that Final Four game. Gosh, what a game that was. This is Mass Radio Sports Talk, presented by 2.5 Athletes on Loot Air Student Radio.